Hi, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Morgellons Think Tank of the Week. My name is Sharon, and I am filling in for our co-host, Robin. She is out today, but it is my pleasure to fill in for her. I'd like to just go over briefly a few of the protocols. This is not a meet for all. This is not where we discuss the latest and greatest on Facebook. We have the tried and true here, so we basically go by our protocols. Richard has already designed all the pieces to the puzzle, so only thing we have to do is put these pieces together and make it work for us. You can mute yourself if there's any background noise. Please mute yourself by pressing star 6. Also, just as a reminder, during this segment, please do not unmute yourself because we will be doing our podcast recording. Also, please make sure that you only give your first name and last four digits of your phone number. If you have not given me your last four digits of your phone number, please make sure to listen to Chris, and he will give you his telephone number so that you can text him with your name and last four digits of your phone number so that you can ask questions of Richard during our second segment, because that is the time we will now have our question and answer session. I pretty much think that kind of sums it up. So at this time, I will turn it over to Chris for the FCC guidelines.
Thank you, Sharon. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Chris, and here are the FCC guidelines that applies to our call today. There are two FCC guidelines that governs the call for all the members who have logged in today. According to Federal Trade Commission Act FTC 1914 and Electronics Communications Privacy Act ECPA 1986, it is a violation of FTC number 1914 and ECPA number 1986 to solicit members of this call for personal and business purposes without express written permission from Get Your Life Back, LLC, or Richard Coons, owner and operator of Get Your Life Back, LLC. Any such violation will be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. Now I'll mute all the participants. After a brief silence, only Richard and Robin and Sharon will be unmuted. But if you have a question or a comment on the subject we are talking about today, you can either call me or text me, but we will address the Q&A session in the next session, that is after the first hour. My number is 732-272-7952. The number again is 732-272-7952. This is the same number you would call to place an order over the weekend or off hours during the week, but I'll be processing the order the following business day. So now, after when you hear the unmuting sound and muting sound, then there is no Q&A session. It will be directly the BBS podcast that will begin and end at 1 hour, and everybody needs to log off and re-log back again for our Q&A session. Thank you very much, and enjoy your call.
Chris, are you on?
What do you say, Richard? Richard, you said something?
Are you already recording?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead and do the intro, Sharon.
Okay. Welcome, everybody, to the Morgellons Think Tank of the Week. My name is Sharon, and again, I am filling in for Robin, our co-host. This is one of my favorite places to be each Sunday. This is where we can get information that has been tried and true. Richard Coons, he was infected with all of these diseases. He had the itchy skin and the parasites and all of this. This is how he was able to find out about the King diet and make the King diet work for him. Richard had gone through countless doctors. Just like many of us, Richard has a story. But guess what? By coming here, this is where you get the tried and true. So Richard has written the 13th edition of How to Get Your Life Back from Morgellons and Other Skin Parasites. He is on his 13th edition. And at this time, I will turn it over to our one and only King of Morgellons, the one that has all the answers where you come to get them, Richard Coombs, our savior from Morgellons and Parasites.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Sharon. I don't know if I have all the answers, but usually why we call this oftentimes a think tank is because collectively we do come up with many answers. Let me begin by acknowledging the FDA regulations, which state that before you start my diet or accept any recommendations that you may hear on this podcast or Q&A section, that you consult your doctor to make sure they do not interfere with any health problems you're presently experiencing. The AMA requires me to inform you that we are not medical doctors, have not passed the rigorous testing. Therefore, we do not diagnose, treat, cure, mitigate, or prevent any disease. By law, what we're allowed to do is to educate you, and beginning with, can educate you how to use the Amazing King diet, just as anyone could educate you how to use any other diet out there, the paleo diet, the Mediterranean diet, or whatever. But I'm sure that once you take a look at the King diet, you'll realize there is no diet in the entire world that even comes close to this. I mean, can you imagine a diet where carrots are not allowed, peas are not allowed, olive oil is not allowed, corn, even a Tic Tac breath mint isn't allowed. So this diet is different. And if you're starting a program thinking, oh, a diet, well, that's no problem. I've done the paleo diet or the Mediterranean diet. No big deal. No. Don't ever even think that you can substitute any of those diets for this diet. We can educate you how to clean your environment, because the bottom line is you're a walking, talking, breathing parasite machine, shedding these organisms wherever you go all the time, 24 hours a day. And that means your workspace, your living space, your bedroom, your laundry, bathroom, everywhere. So this area all has to be cleaned to keep you from being reinfected. So the diet, you know, it's an inside-outside kind of thing. The infestations usually begin on the outside, and it would be nice if they stayed there, but they don't. They go inside. So the diet takes care of the inside, and on the outside, then we can instruct you how to clean your skin and get the organisms out of your skin. For some of you dealing with Morgellons for years and years, your skin is destroyed layers deep. It's all dead skin. Sharon was talking with someone earlier about the hair. I mean, if you've got them in your scalp and you have scalp issues, that hair's dead. Anything you're putting in your scalp, you're just wasting it on dead hair. You may as well zap it off as close as possible. That's the best thing you can do. So you don't want long hair. And to make this as easy as possible. So we can also educate you how to build health and immunity. And that's through our targeted supplements that we have in the store, wherein you can build health and immune functioning. So the good news is the diet is totally free. The program is free. Their coaches are free. So what's the catch? Is there a catch, Sharon?
No catch. The catch is just to get your life back.
Yeah, do
That's
it.
That's the catch.
Yes, and, you know, I do have the best store with supplements and skin care products in the entire world, and there is no requirement. I mean, for you to purchase anything, it's up to you. But we do very much appreciate your patronage. Carrie Ann Allman is usually on this podcast with me. Unfortunately, she's not feeling well today, and I'm going it alone. We always start the podcast out with, well, how do you know you have Morgellons? I mean, maybe you've been seeing some Facebook stuff or on the internet or whatever, and you're wondering, well, is it Morgellons? And then if it is, what do I do about it? Well, we have all the answers here. So how do you know if you have Morgellons? First of all, according to Dr. Saverly in her book, Morgellons, The Legitimization of a Disease, what is characteristic of Morgellons is this and this only. Filaments and fibers growing from your skin or under your skin that are not really normal. They're not normal hair. They can be different colors, red, white, black, blue, often said to be fluorescent. They can be of various sizes. Some people can't even see the filaments and fibers on their skin, but instead they find cotton-like, lint-like balls or substances in their bedding and clothing with no reasonable explanation, like they were not wearing cashmere or wool. So that means, according to Dr. Saverly, and I have no reason to disagree, that's one thing we totally agree upon, you have Morgellons. So it's kind of self-diagnostic by simply viewing the filaments and fibers or cotton-like substance that you find around your environment. Now, there are other symptoms that Morgellons people often have, and that is an itch, like from under the skin almost, some people reporting, like they're sleeping on shards of glass. But it doesn't have to be that dramatic. It can be an itch. Now, I did want to make one comment before I go on, and that is my own personal experience very recently. Where can you contract Morgellons? Where can you pick it up? You have any idea, Sharon, where can you pick up Morgellons?
You can pick up Morgellons anywhere. You can pick it up on door handles. You can pick it up on toilet seats. You can pick it up from people. You can pick it up everywhere. It's everywhere.
Yeah. You know, I was at the courthouse last week filing some papers, and I walked out into the, well, they had an area with a desk where I could sit and write. And I felt an itch on my hand, and I looked down. I don't know if this is visible, but there she is. See that purplish area there? That's the way it starts for me, that quick. Yeah, you know what? If I didn't know what to do about that, within 2 or 3 days, that would be one big lesion digging into my skin with filaments growing out. But you know what? I know what to do about it. That. And rub it in. And the itch goes away. And within another, that was Friday, Saturday, Sunday. By Wednesday, this will be gone. Completely gone. Otherwise, could be misery. Total misery. So where do you pick it up? Just about anywhere nowadays. So itching, that's a symptom. Now, that could be a symptom of other parasites as well. Morgellons is not the only parasite. It's the primary parasite that people talk about. People often go to their doctor with these symptoms and the itching and the things, and they say whatever, and they say, well, do you think I have Morgellons? That's the Morgellons. That's the only word that comes to mind. That's the only one they know to talk about, because that's the one that is the word. All right. They don't go and say, well, do you think I might have Columbola or Columba or Springdale's? No, I thought, you know, but just as easy as you can have Morgellons, you can have Columbola or Columbola, Springtails, snow fleas. They're all synonyms for the same thing, the same organism. So itching could be Morgellons, could be Columbola, or skin fungus, often showing up as a reddening of the skin and a burning. Yeah, okay. Well, here's another symptom, a burning sensation. Well, that one typically is not Morgellons, not Columbola, but reserved for skin fungus. Rashy, burning, feeling, itching. And how about biting? Oh, yes. Yes, where you feel like the bite goes to the bone. That could be Morgellons. That could be Columbola. That could also be skin fungus. Now, there is a little differentiation here with Columbola. When that bite is there, it is eternal. It doesn't go away until you do this for a few minutes, and then it goes away. But otherwise, it stays there. Now, with skin fungus, it's a little different. It could start here and feel it for a few moments, and then a few moments later, you could feel it over here. It'll migrate, but not with Columbola. So I hope this helps you figure out a little bit about what you might be dealing with. Now, organisms coming out of your skin. Well, that's pretty much 100% Morgellons. And with complications. See, Morgellons can exist by itself, or it can exist with Columbola that I mentioned. 90% of us have both. Or it can exist with mites. Yeah, that's something else. But this is miasis. This is when organisms might bite you, transfer the whatever this thing is that starts Morgellons. Now, your Morgellons may not start the way mine does. It could start differently, all right, on the skin. But this is just one way. It looks like a psoriasis in the beginning when it starts with me. So the miasis could be from an insect that bites you, could be a midge or some kind of fly that's infected with Morgellons. You know, it's even possibility that you get bit with a midge that is not affected with Morgellons, and you just go around breeding these things until you get rid of them. But it's often connected with Morgellons. So I think I picked up all the symptoms there, didn't I? The itching, the biting, the burning, yeah, that pretty much
crawling,
carries it.
The crawling.
Crawling, oh yeah, crawling sensations, yeah, that could be Columbola, it could, well, I think generally it is, but yeah, perhaps Morgellons as well, but I think it's more associated with Morgellons. So we were to have a guest today. Is he with us, Khalib? Are you with us? 9157, are you on the call? Well, we may not have a guest today. I thought he was going to be here. Okay. So the topic that we could discuss is disinfecting. So we have several goals. And when you're looking at Facebook, it's rare that you even get a smattering of what's involved when it comes to this. You see lots of pictures of filaments and gooey stuff coming out of their skin. like on the cover of my book, you see all these pictures here. All this kind of stuff you see on Facebook, and people are very full of advice. Do this, do that, do that. This is what I did, whatever. And it may help, but remember, that's the skin. You are a walking, talking, walking, breathing parasite machine. And you can clean your skin and clean your skin and clean your skin and clean your skin. But unless you stop them breathing internally, it's a never, never ending battle. So we focus, number one, on making the diet work. Maybe that finger's better. Okay. Make the diet work. Then we want to clean the environment. There are millions of these organisms in your environment, whether they be Columbella, mites, or Morgellons. The filaments and fibers shed from your skin, the Columbella jump off of your body. They generally jump about maybe 10 inches. So, for instance, let's put this in perspective. We're talking about cleaning your environment. If you're sitting at a table on a chair having your breakfast, where might you find these organisms, Sharon? Where are they going to be?
They're going to be around your chair. It's going to be anywhere within that perimeter of the 10 inches or so. So you have to clean around the entire area of where you're sitting.
How about under the table?
Absolutely under the table. Anywhere where you think a parasite or a bug may hide.
See, we don't often think of this. You said clean around the area, but we don't think. You know, they're going to jump up from your knees to under the table. They're going to jump from your legs to the legs of your chair and underneath of your chair, not and including your chair itself and the back of your chair. They're going to be all around there. In other words, that whole area is going to be a parasite zone, and we need to get rid of them. Otherwise, next time you sit there, they're going to zone back on you, and you'll start scratching again and itching. So this, you need to keep this in mind. So if you're sitting on a toilet, where they're going to be? All around that toilet.
They're going to be all up everywhere around the toilet.
The base of the toilet.
On the walls.
Yeah.
The walls, around the floorboards.
Yes, if your wall is within 8 inches or 10 inches, you're gonna be they jump. Mm-hmm. Now, when she says on the walls and ceiling, well, you know there are other organisms like midges and fly mites that fly, and if we're involved with these, then we need to really go after it. And we're talking about walls and ceilings, but typically with Columbella, we're just talking about an area about 8 to 10 inches in your vicinity. So if you're sitting on your couch or your recliner, same thing. They're going to be on the recline. They're going to be on the, you know, when you recline, that portion where you have your legs at the ends, there are tufts. They're going to be in there, in the tuft of the fabric. So all of this area needs to be disinfected. We're going to get to the flying organisms in a little bit, but just to give it out. Now, with Morgellons, you're talking about filaments and fibers, and they can be very tiny, and they can be picked up in the air currents. So it's helpful to have an air purifier. But you don't need one with lots of bells and whistles. I mean, you can get them with, they create ozone, but the amount of ozone they create is insignificant and a waste of your funds. So just a basic air filter with an on and off and a HEPA filter to catch any of the filaments that may be in the air currents. Columbella is an organism about 300 angstroms, like the size of a dust particle. And if you ever looked, you see the sun coming in a window and you see the dust particles, that's about what they look like. Not to say that those particles are columbula, but they can be kicked up a little bit. But generally, they're found on the floor area or in moist areas. Now, for instance, you're in the bathroom and you're standing at the mirror, and there's a recess at the bottom of the cabinets for your feet, about maybe 4 inches deep. There they are as well. They're going to be there. They're going to be jumping off of you. So actually, in heavily infested areas, you can transport them with the soles of your shoes. So wherever you're walking is going to be a path where you're going to be distributing them. Now, not necessarily against the wall, but just in the path area where you're walking generally is where you're going to find them. So this is true with carpets. Carpets get a little bit complicated. You know what I'm trying to do here? I don't know if it's possible, but I'm trying to take like 30 pages of my book and share it within 40 minutes here. This is all covered in Chapter 3 of the book. How to get your life back from Morgellons, chronic Lyme, and other skin parasites. So now we haven't even talked about the bedding, your clothing. Wow. I don't know if we should reserve that for a special segment or if we should deal with that now. What do you think?
I think maybe do a little now and then have just one segment for just that topic.
Good. Well, if it's easy like it was for me, ammonia is all I required. Let's talk about the disinfectants. You're probably thinking now, okay, I got all this to do. Now, what am I going to use to get rid of them? Because I've been using Pine Sol and I've been using alcohol, and it hasn't been helping whatsoever. I don't know how to get rid of them. How do you get rid of them? Well, for me, the easiest and least expensive and costly one was ammonia. Laundry grade ammonia, you buy it at the grocery store where you get your laundry supplies. And I used it 100%. In the very beginning, I was able to use like a third ammonia, two-thirds water. But over the years, I've gotten reinfected. So if you think that once you get rid of these organisms, you're never going to get reinfected again, I don't think so. It doesn't work that way. Like, what about that? Okay, I got rid of them, but right. There it is. It's back because right. I was in the vicinity of it, just like the common cold. You can get rid of it, but if you get it in an area where there's a sufficient number of germs and you're exposed to them, you're going to contract it back. That's mm-hmm. the way this works. So just by getting rid of it doesn't mean it's gone forever. What it does mean, you've got the tools to keep it from being a major catastrophe as it has been in your life. Instead of it being the major catastrophe as it has been, it's a blip in your life. It's this. Or worst case scenario, you might have to go back into the diet. Now, the diet, just very briefly, three stages. Stage one is very strict. If you do everything right, you can get through stage one into stage two within a week or less. If you're not doing everything just perfect and making mistakes, it can take as long as 6 months. Sharon can share her story on that. But she did it. She got
Absolutely.
Her life back. Absolutely. So is it worth it? Yeah, you can look
Absolutely.
Out and work in a week, but if you focus on it, even if it takes you 6 months, you're way ahead of where you've been would have been otherwise. And Sharon can tell you where she would have been if it hadn't been for the diet a little later on. She can share where she was and where she was going if it weren't for this amazing diet. And then there's stage three of the diet where you can basically eat anything that you want within reason. And we can talk about that a little bit later on. So that's important about the diet. Now, back to disinfecting. We were talking about disinfecting disinfectants. So hope And cross your fingers. Can I do that? Can I? Yep. Yeah, I can do that. Cross your fingers that ammonia does the trick. All right. Now, Robin, my co-host, who's usually on, will often tell you that, you know, the book is like an encyclopedia. It says do this, and if this doesn't work, you up your game. And through Robin, I learned that there are more resistant varieties of these organisms, and I learned about upping the game a lot from her. So what other disinfectants are available? Well, hypochlorite is one that might come up. And I was excited about that when I first heard about it. But, you know, over the years, I've not heard a lot of good results from it. So I would not recommend hypochlorite. Robin has introduced to us Garden Safe Fungicide 3 that you get at Lowe's or Home Depot. I prefer Lowe's. I don't like the politics at Home Depot. Or Ace, your Ace Hardware store. You can use this in the electrostatic sprayer. Well, let me talk about that a little bit later on, just to pique your curiosity, electrostatic sprayer. So this is a tremendous disinfectant. You can get it so that you can attach a hose to it and use it outside and spray your patio, your walkway, your even your lawn area. Or you can get it where you can mix it with water and use it in the electrostatic sprayer with caution, because after you use it, you got to rinse out the electrostatic sprayer. So that is a very good disinfectant. In the book, you'll see what is called a triple pesticide. And this is three different things you put together. You get them from sites like Do Your Own Pest Control or Do My Own Pest Control, and you mix them together. There's Onslaught, Exponent, and ICR, I believe, is what the third one is. And she's gone on to add two other ingredients to it to make it a sink pesticide if the triple pesticide doesn't do the trick. In the book is also a formula for making, is it Four Thieves Oil or Five Thieves? I forget. Well, Four Thieves Oil that was used centuries and centuries ago with bubonic plague. There's a formula for that in the book. In our store, we have a couple of them. We have enzymes, clean them upzymes. So as I've been talking about all these different things, you've probably been saying in the back of your mind, well, I got enzymes, you know. Well, yes, absolutely. Now, enzymes are not effective against Morgellons. So a lot of people go down the enzyme route and do a lot of enzymes, but it doesn't work well for Morgellon. Columbella mites, absolutely. Mites that, you know, there are over 40,000 species of mites. And the ones that have no eyes, that molt, that's what the enzymes work on. Columbella is like that kind of organism. So enzymes are definitely very powerful. They can be used in the laundry, but again, not effective against Morgellons. And you may not have heard that elsewhere. I've been wasting your money on a lot of enzymes. Now, you probably been saying, what about fogging with cedar side? What about that? Huge waste of money. A huge waste of money. Because fog doesn't go everywhere. It only covers the front. You know, if you're going to fog, the fog goes and it covers the front of the doorknob, say, for instance, not the back of the doorknob. It, you know, whatever the fog is going, it's going to hit. It's not going to, you know, so it's not going to get in everywhere like you think it should. No, it's not going to do that. So that is not it. So I may have just saved you a fortune just by sharing those two things with you about the cedarside and fogging and enzymes. You need to know where and when and how to use these products. So in our store, we also have an organic, it's called Benefect, based on thyme. Now, this you can use in the electrostatic sprayer, I believe. Yeah, I'd have to double check that, but it's never, yes, you can. And you could spray your kitchen utensils with it. Yeah, it's organic. Thyme, you know, like thyme that you've add to your food, that's what it is. So it's a little more costly, it's ready to use. Then we also have MediClean. MediClean is a more of an economic disinfectant, a chemical disinfectant. It's the ratio of 1 to 8, and you can spray that. Now, I don't think it's going to be effective against Morgellons, but everything else, yes, because Morgellons is not affected by pesticides. So if you've been running off and buying your bombs, raid bombs at the grocery store and setting them off and not noticing any improvement, well, that's to be expected. Nobody ever gets any benefit from that. However, if you're dealing with a mite infestation and Columbella, perhaps, that would be a good place to start to get things rolling. So they are the different things that you can use to clean your environment. I may have missed one or two, and if it comes to mind as we continue, I'll bring them up, or later on during the Q&A, you can always ask about those as well. Now, wow, we started out talking about laundry, and look where we went. Okay, let's get back to laundry, because if you wear in clothes that are infected with these organisms, you may as well do nothing. You know, you may as well just go jump in a hole somewhere because you'll be miserable. Well, for me, simply putting my laundry in the washing machine with a cup or cup and a half of ammonia was all that was required to deal with the Columbella and the mites that I was dealing with at that time, and then into the dryer. You know, and at that time, I wasn't even thinking about disinfecting the dryer. But so it was easy for me. And fortunately, it was, because I got my life back when I was able to write this book, at least the first edition of it back in 2006. It was called Soothing the Itch Within and the Diet to Control It. That's what it was called. And over the years, I've learned a lot from other people that I was lucky. I was really lucky that ammonia and just a cup of ammonia did it. Now, let's go to the ultimate. The ultimate may mean that you need to get one of these totes at Walmart or Target or wherever. They're about a foot wide and about maybe 2 feet long and about a foot and a half high. They have a cover on them. And in the bottom, you put an inch of ammonia liquid, then on top you put egg cartons, you know, plastic egg cartons. And then you put your clothing on top of that, and then you cover it for, if you're lucky, only an hour. If you have more resistance, maybe 24 hours you need to do this before you launder them. You're just treating them. It's the fumes that do the work. That's what does the work, the fumes. So then you take it out of it and you put it in the washing machine and you add a cup of ammonia. We have a biodegradable laundry soap, or if you want to use your detergents with all that sodium lauryl sulfate and the brighteners that never come out of your clothing but contaminate your skin, that's your choice. But whatever you use, you can launder your clothing. And some people do two loads. They do the first load like this with detergent and ammonia, and then they do the second load with the enzymes, the clean-em up enzymes. The instructions come with it. So some people needs to be two. Robin talks about using PCO, which is obtained from the company that does Cedarside. She uses that in her laundry as well. Then you put it in your dryer and you put it on hot. And in the dryer, you take an absorbent, something like a towel or a washcloth, and you pour a third of a cup of ammonia. You can add in a dropper of peppermint if you'd like to that. And then that disinfects the dryer as well as you're drying it. And then ultimately, you know, me, I just took it out, put it in my basket, brought it back in, and used my clothing. But ultimately, you may have to get Ziploc bags, big ones. And if you have problems with your hands, with the organisms in your hands, you don't want to contaminate the clothing, so you may have to wear gloves. As you take it out of the dryer, you put it into the Ziploc bags. You add in some menthol crystals. You get these little party favor bags. We have them in the, excuse me, we have them in the store. You put your menthol crystals in there. You put it in the bag, and then you seal it up and you put it away. And as you need your clothing, you take it out of the bag to wear it, rather than hanging it in the closet. So this is the ultimate. Now, I'm not saying you have to do the ultimate. Ideally, you just take them out of the dryer and you hang them up in your closet. Of course, you want to make sure that closet has been disinfected and everything in it before you use it. And likewise, your drawers, you want to make sure they're all disinfected. So it's a good idea to use the menthol crystals in your drawers. Put them in these little bags, cloth bags. You don't put the crystals against your clothing itself. You put them in the bags. You can put the bags even in pockets in your clothing if you're going to be hanging them up. So be creative, and you want your clothing to be ready to go. Now, treating your bed. Well, the best thing is to, I mean, if you're dealing with bed bugs as well, there's a chapter in the book, section in the book about getting rid of the bed bugs. But ideally, you just take like a cottage cheese container and just shorten it so it's like a cup that goes underneath your bedpost. You put diatomaceous earth around it so that anything that's going to get in there and try to go up your the bedpost and to you is going to be destroyed. You get zipper linered mattress covers, vinyl, not the cloth. The bed bugs may not be able to get through, but these organisms, the Columbella and the Morgellons, may be able to migrate, and even the mites may be able to migrate. So we might use zipper vinyl cover mattress covers. You put, again, when you put your mattress in it, you put the bags of menthol crystals inside to keep everything in there dead, and you cover your pillow as well with the plastic cover as well. Put the menthol crystals inside. So now we are ready to dress our bed. And you spray the ammonia or whatever you're using to disinfect on the bottom, on the plastic cover. Then you put your mattress cover on top. You spray the mattress cover. You put your bottom sheet. You spray the bottom sheet. You put your top sheet. You spray the top sheet. You layer, you treat every layer, and you do this every day to keep your bedding disinfected. So that's pretty much it from A to Z. Outside, as I mentioned, if you have them outside, there's where you use the Garden Safe neem oil thing to spray and treat. Do you have anything to add to that, Sharon?
No, I think you covered pretty much everything with how to do your laundry, which is very, very important because many times we do get reinfected from clothing. So say, well, and as an extra precaution, once you've done your laundry, before you put on your clothing, you can also spray a little bit more ammonia on those clothing before you put them on, as well as
excellent
dusting
point.
Them with diatomaceous earth.
Excellent
so those
point.
You can dust with.
You can always invert, like your pants, your shirts, you can invert them, your coats, you can invert them. You can dust diatomaceous earth and then turn them right side out. Or the easy way is just spray it with ammonia. Now, that you jogged my memory because I mentioned it earlier, electrostatic sprayer. Generally, with most of these disinfectants, you're just going to use a dollar store sprayer. You don't want really a thick spray. You want a relatively fine spray. So test and see which spray head gives you the best. No, you just go around spraying, right? Spray. All right. Well, that could be a lot of this, you know. And if you got a big house, that's a lot of this, you know, and refilling it. And there's a much easier way to go, particularly if you have airborne organisms, and that is the electrostatic sprayer. Now, with some people, there are organisms that are on the walls and ceilings. And you're not going to get them with this, that's for sure. And we need to get them. So the electrostatic sprayer, we do have them in the store, puts an electric charge on the particle, a very fine particle. And when you pull the trigger, it's a battery-operated sprayer. You pull the trigger on it, and what would take you maybe 10, 15 seconds to do this, takes 1 second with the electrostatic sprayer. You're done. So you aim it for, I mentioned earlier, that underneath the table, underneath your chair, you just aim it at the table, you got it. Under the chair, under the table, on top of the table, you aim it at your chair at the level where you see. So the spray goes under, spray goes above, you're done with your chair that quick. So it's a lot faster. And, of course, with airborne organisms, the walls and ceiling, like that, and you're done. Now, how often? Well, that's one thing I didn't get into. And, it's a full-time job. So you got to think ahead. Your automobile. Before you get in your automobile, 20 minutes before, go disinfect it. Spray it with ammonia. That gives enough time for the ammonia to dissipate. If you're using that, you don't use ammonia in the electrostatic sprayer, by the way. It'll destroy it. All right? So there are very few things you can use. One thing I forgot to mention is our nature's gift. Our nature's gift, top of the line, the best of all of them. You just take 1 ounce of the full concentrated, add it to a half a gallon of water. You can put that in your electrostatic sprayer, and that handles everything. Mites, Columbella, Morgellons, everything. So you go to your chair, you go to your car, you spray 20 minutes before you want to get in your car. All right? And you come back in the house. In the wintertime, you know, oh, well, with the ice and things, not so much fun. But nevertheless, that's the way you do it. You want to sit down to have breakfast, 20 minutes, you spray, and then come back later. Well, you might find that you can shorten this to maybe 15 or 10 minutes. I don't know, 12 minutes. But you figure out what's the best time. Because you whatever organisms might have collected there, you want to give them enough time to meet their demise before you inhabit that area. So same is true getting in bed. Spray it before you go to bed. The electrostatic sprayer, that quick, you're done. So not a lot of this, but this works as well. I never had the electrostatic sprayer. I did a lot of this. Anyway, it's like 20 minutes. After you get up, you spray. So after you get out of the car, you treat it. The car itself, you know, that's a biggie. I've had many, many people tell me how they've gotten had to get rid of their cars. And maybe that's because they didn't know about the cabin filter. In your automobile, the cabin, that's where you sit, you know, that's what they call a cabin. But the air filters circulates through. There's called a cabin filter, oftentimes behind the glove box. But you have to check online to see where yours is. And it's best to take it to your mechanic and have him change the cabin filter, because this filter can be full of mites and calumbula and morgellons that as the air goes, it's not a HEPA filter. You get that? That's why. It's not a HEPA filter. So they're just going to be circulating through. So it also is beneficial to turn on the circulating system. If you're using ammonia, spray it so it goes in, and when you smell it come out, then you stop. You don't want to, you know, ammonia can destroy things. Ozone, we didn't mention ozone. We used to use ozone a lot, but I find it cumbersome. So like for doing an ozone, and the generators have gotten relatively expensive, as I checked online the other day. In fact, the electrostatic sprayer is a huge bargain. You know, the ozone things are like hundreds and hundreds of dollars now. But the ozone can also work. So that means you leave the building. Elvis left the building. You know, you turn on your ozone machine. You put it on a timer. It's on an hour, off a half hour, on an hour, off a half hour, on an hour, off a half hour. And then you come in and then you occupy the area, and you do the whole house, you know, so you got them here. It's so cumbersome. The ozone, the electrostatic sprayer is so much more, but the instructions are more identified, are more detailed in the book. So go there. Like I said, over 50 pages in here of how to clean the environment and clean your skin. Do you find this stuff on Facebook? Do you find this stuff on Facebook? No.
Probably not. I don't do Facebook. But, Richard, you just made a very good point of what we have not discussed, which is one of the most important, cleaning your skin. You have got to bathe. We have so many people that just, you know, suffer because they're only taking one bath a day. You have to up your game.
We have to do that another time because we're running out of time on this one. And I imagine if I could probably keep going. We got another 6 minutes. So, you know what? Why not? Let's do it. We'll go for the whole hog.
Let's do it. Let's go for it.
You know, the best thing is to use the bathtub. And I always thought you had to have a bathtub, but I've been proven wrong so many times. People do it in the shower too. So. But the best thing is to disinfect your bathtub using ammonia or bleach. You can disinfect. You know, we didn't mention bleach as a disinfectant because that's a no-no. I mean, you don't want to go around spraying bleach on your clothes.
Yeah.
On your, no, you don't want to do that. But
you don't want to have bleach and ammonia in your house at the same time. It can cause a lot of problems.
You don't want to mix them together. That's for sure. Not
Richard,
mix them together.
Can I ask a question?
Well, this isn't a question and answer portion here, but real quick, yes, go ahead and ask a question.
Okay, I have two concerns. One is that ammonia is toxic to cats, and secondly, I have a vast and a very expensive library, and I don't know what to do about my books, and a lot of them are very valuable. They're first edition, so I can't just toss them out.
No, what you do with your books is you buy one of these oven bags and you put the books in the oven at 250 degrees for about 3 hours, and that should take care of your books. So thank you for bringing that up. We got it covered from A to Z. You won't find that on Facebook either. Okay.
Nope.
Now back to bathing. There are many disinfectants that you can use. You see, you got to, first of all, clean the tub. So bleach or ammonia is great to clean the tub and then wash it down. Then you fill it up with warm water and you add, you know, Epsom salts. You can add, in the book there are probably 15 or 20 different disinfectants, borax, Epsom salts, peppermint oil, lavender oil, hydrogen peroxide, apple, regular vinegar, that doesn't have to be apple cider vinegar, white vinegar, baking soda. You have a choice for mint hypochlorite that you get from a pool supply shop. You put in a couple of ounces. And then the best thing is our nature's gift, debriding soap. That's the powerful stuff. That's the stuff that goes in the skin. What does it do when it gets in the skin? It tickles them. It tickles them. Yeah, it tickles them. Like if you're walking and you get a pebble in your shoe, what do you have to do? You got to take off your shoe. Here you have this little tiny pebble manipulating your behavior. So the nature's gifts go deep in the skin, tickles them, makes them leave. The disinfectants kill them. Most of them anyway. And you do that, and that you want to do three times a day. The idea is to get from one bath to the next bath with relatively little discomfort. And then we have a little spray bottle, not this one, but a tiny one, a little pen bottle that you use the nature's gift. And if you feel a little discomfort, boom, that's it. That's it. Boom, you're taken care of. And the idea is to get from one bath to the next bath with relatively little skin discomfort. And then you go to two baths a day. Well, people say, I don't have time for three baths a day. No, they don't care. You know, you think they care? No. I got up at 5 a.m., got in the bathtub for 45 minutes, came home at 4:30, got in the bathtub for 45 minutes, got in the bathtub at 11, fell asleep, and got up at 12 and went to bed. Do it. That's the way it's done if you need to. They don't care about you. They don't care about your schedule, your likes. They don't care. They don't even care if you're vegan or vegetarian, but the diet can work for all of you. You get that? But they don't care. All right? It's up to you. So then after you get out of the bathtub, you get in the shower, and you shower off, ideally, with one of our bar soaps that has nature's gift in it, because the larger organisms are not necessarily destroyed in the bathtub with the nature's gift and the disinfectants. So you don't want the, you know, you want to shower them off. And then after you get out of the shower, you can apply our skin creams and lotions as you like. We have Beauty Forever skin revitalization cream and exfoliants and things like that, and do your regular routine. And we have shampoo. But in the bathtub, you never, 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 never shampoo your hair. You don't want this stuff coming down into your eyes, because that people have had themselves end up going blind temporarily, getting these organisms in their eyes. So you keep them, you keep it out of your eyes. You do the shower thing, and we can get into the scalp later on. We don't have time for that, because that alone will take about maybe 15 minutes. And we're down to 53 seconds. What do you got to say, Sharon? Let's wrap it up.
Well, everybody keep coming back. We always have valuable information here, and Richard has all these pieces to this puzzle. So today you should be able to debride your skin, clean your environment, and do your laundry.
Amen.
Keep coming back, guys. We love you.
Thanks so much, Aaron. Love you all. Keep coming back. See you next time. All right, that ends this portion of the program.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Morgellons Think Tank of the Week. Now it's time for our question and answer session with Richard Coons.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Who's first with a question? Did we have some numbers?
Yeah, 598.
We did not get any,
Robin.
Unless Chris. Oh, sorry.
Okay.
5984 Robin.
Yes. Hello. This is Robin in Birmingham, Alabama.
Hi, Robin. And, how are you today?
Hi. Well, doing pretty good, making some progress.
Good to hear. We love progress.
Yes. Still feeling overwhelmed in some ways. I know that originally I had mites, but I think I got rid of the mites. I think I've got just the fungus now. And I didn't know about ammonia and the electrostatic sprayer, so I guess I'm going to have to buy another electrostatic sprayer.
You use ammonia in the electric? Does it still work?
I didn't. No, it doesn't now.
But does it still work, or did it go boonk?
I can't get it to work. I think I'm going to have to get another one. But so in the electrostatic sprayer, I just used a debriding soap is the main thing. And can I use peppermint oil in that?
It's better to stay away with oils.
Okay.
So it's 1 ounce of 100% debriding soap to half a gallon of water.
Okay.
That should be good. Okay.
Okay.
Oils can be a problem with the gaskets. Okay.
I see. Okay. And I had a question on, I've been reading through chapter 5 in the recipes, and that's a very confusing chapter. There's a recipe for fudge, and it does not use Dutch cocoa. It just uses regular cocoa, like the Baker's Bar. But the Baker's Bar are not Dutch. Baker's Bars are just regular cocoa powder and cocoa butter. There's no Dutch process to those Baker's Bars.
Yeah, I think that's okay. I mean, that chapter was written many, many years ago, long before we even knew of Dutch cocoa, so not everything was upgraded.
Okay. So that's the reason why, because I just, when I'm reading through chapter 5, I can get so confused so easily. I'm like, but wait a minute, that's not stage 1. We can't, you know, I feel like there are several places where I'm just running into contradictions.
Well, you know what I would appreciate? If you could make a list of all those contradictions so that when I make changes to the book, I do that, because chapter 5 is one of those chapters I usually just leave alone because I've gotten, you know, nobody's given me any feedback, so I would appreciate the feedback.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll look into that.
Because I feel it's important to have things clear, concise, and non-confusing.
So yes.
The world is confusing enough the way it is. We don't need...
It is. It is. I bought a steam mop. What's a good cleaner to use with the steam mop? I'm enjoying the steam mop. In other words, it makes me feel better. I don't know if it's doing any good, but it the floors look better. I feel like they're getting cleaner.
This steam mop, you put water in it and it makes steam. Is that obviously how it works?
Yeah.
Well, these steam mops are very persnickety. They don't like other stuff added to them generally.
Okay. Yeah.
I know I messed up one by adding stuff to it and learned the hard way, like you did with the electrostatic sprayer. What you might do is, where you're going to steam, you might spray whatever it is you like to use. If you're going to use the diluted Nature's Gift or the or whatever disinfectant you're using, spray that area and then steam it.
Okay.
So it doesn't go through the mop.
That was an idea I had. That sounds good. And then upholstered furniture. Should I just throw away all upholstered furniture or just keep spraying that with ammonia and that should take care of it?
Well,
as far as like fungal molds, because I know I'm a walking, talking parasite machine. I can see the spores. I call them parachuters. I've got parachuters jumping off of me all the time. I can actually see them, little white specks floating away from me into my environment.
You got very good vision.
Yeah, well, it depends on, you know, with the sunlight streaming through, like you said, when the sunlight streams through and you can see all the dust particles there. I don't see it all the time, but every now and again I can see it.
That's amazing.
And,
well, that verifies what I've been saying all along. I've never seen it. I just surmise that this is what's happening.
And I think that it's just the fungus is releasing spores all in my environment. And, I mean, that's what's overwhelming, is it?
Are you on the lupinirone?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's good. And
I take that today.
So, let's see, what You see the fungus on the walls? You see mold, is it? I'm not sure.
And mold as well. I've got mold. I bought Zep wall cleaner and a handheld stick-like device with a little tiny little mop head on it, and I'm doing the crown molding and the walls and the chair rail, just the entire walls, and I can only do a little bit every day.
Is it cleaning it up? What you're doing, is it cleaning
it up? It's helping. I mean, there's regular cleaning and then there's disinfecting, so at the very least, I'm cleaning, just regular cleaning, because you still have to clean your house.
Well,
so
I'm
doing what I call deep cleaning.
My information says the best thing to use on that kind of situation would be to wipe it with ammonia.
Okay.
Now, I have seen I don't know if it's on Facebook or where it was, a mold cleaner advertised that really looked good to me, but, you know, does it really do what they say it does? If it does, it would be fantastic. Unfortunately, I didn't think to make a note of what the name of the product was. Next time I see it, I'll have to use my intelligence to do that. But in the meantime, ammonia is better. People often think bleach works best with mold, but what I've read, and it doesn't. The best thing is ammonia.
Ammonia. Yeah, I can start with the cleaner and then follow up with the ammonia. Just do a double.
Right.
To really clean it.
How are you doing with the diet?
If I can figure out all the contradictions with, then maybe just don't worry about the recipes in chapter 5. I'm one of those very rare people that my version of stage 1 is so strict. I cannot have any grains at all.
Mm-hmm.
No wheat, no spelt, no millet, no rye, no barley, no nothing, no grain. If it's a grain, no. No rice. I even took myself off of rice bran oil. I do clarified butter only.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do milk. I can't do butter. I can do clarified butter. That is it. I can do almost anything you can put in a salad. Of course, no carrots, no croutons.
Right.
But, you know, salad vegetables, I can do greens, spinach, cabbage, broccoli. I can do cauliflower and zucchini. And I'd love to see the stage 1 updated to include things like cauliflower and zucchini listed, because those are A-okay.
Yep. I'd
love to see the spices updated to include the cinnamon and the cumin. When I was able to add cumin, there's like a whole nother room opened up, because I love that type of taste.
The taco salad. You're really into this, and I would welcome your help. And if you emailed me and we could communicate back and forth, because I agree with you, I'd like to update it as well. I would like to say one thing I've learned, I keep learning, but cinnamon, too much of the cassia cinnamon can be dangerous to our livers, so it's not as healthy as we might think it is. The Ceylon cinnamon is the one that we want to go with. It helps with blood sugar regulation and many more things. Just a quick note here, that's all.
Using the Ceylon cinnamon, definitely. I try to stay on the strictest vase. Every now and again, I'll branch out and go, well, let me try this, let me try that, and almost always.
The key is you notice that the foods that you eat produce a result.
Yes, absolutely.
That is the most important thing, and that's just a matter of figuring it out. You know, like I did, it took me 2 years to figure mine out. So you have to figure yours out. Hopefully it'll take a lot less than 2 years.
Absolutely. Well, it's definitely been very helpful to have the book and to have the stage 1 and working through that. So, yes, I I am able to get some progress going on here if I just stay on what I know is my strictest part of the stage one, to stay away from any and all grains and most dairy. I can do goat cheese. Goat cheese is okay.
Oh, really? That's good. Now, with the grains, of course, barley and wheat are out anyway, but with the millet and the rye and the rice, have you tried the cheat where you heat, where you prepare them, to put them in the refrigerator, let them cool down, and then warm them up slowly?
I could put rice in the freezer and eat a rice popsicle and still have parasitic activation.
Really?
It's rice. I can't have grains. No grains at all.
No grains, period. Okay.
No grains, period.
All right. Cross our fingers, and in time, hopefully, you'll be able to expand the diet to include some of the grains. But in the meantime, I welcome your participation and email me the things that you find in the book that are contradictory and questions that you have about certain spices. Okay? Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you for being part of our program. Who's next?
Anybody who has questions can unmute yourself.
I have a question.
Yes, okay. Melanie?
Thank you for recognizing my voice. I have a question. One thing is I do not like using ammonia. I have a really bad reaction, and it's toxic to cats. But one thing I have been using for cleaning, which is just amazing, these fibers all over the walls and stuff, like the moving ones, is HOCl, hypochlorous acid, and that's what they use in the pet safe and the child safe sprays. But if you buy it by the gallon, you can get it really cheap. And you put it on your floor, let's say, and you when you mop the floor, not only does it clean it, but all the fibers, everything comes right up. It's really, truly amazing stuff.
You know, you're probably the first person that's ever reported success with hypochlorous acid. Great to note. I was all for it, but then I got a lot of bad results and people reporting it wasn't doing anything good for them. So I stopped talking about it. So I'm kind of neutral.
Oh no, I have possibly coccidiosis. So I have the fibers all over the house, and they just come right up. I mean, it's amazing stuff.
Don't discount hypochlorous acid because I am kind of mixed on it. You've heard Melanie, so try it. It's not that costly. Try it. Where do you buy it?
I get the gallon containers off Amazon for about $22. Apparently, you can make your own, which I have not done. But I get one of those big rectangular mops, you know, that they use, in hospitals and whatever. And that's what I use. I literally pour it right on the floor, a tile floor, let's say, and I mop it, and I let it dry, and then I go back over it with like a dry mop, and it takes all the fibers out. And you can even put it in laundry, and it removes the fibers like crazy off your laundry.
You can use it everywhere. If it works for you, you can use it everywhere. So
you can even use it on your carpets.
It's an alternative to ammonia to try it out and see. That's good. So thank you so much for sharing. That's very valuable.
I haven't been able to figure out how to use it on an electrostatic sprayer, though.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't try it. I wouldn't. Okay, thank you. Who's next?
And one more thing I want to ask. I am just crazy about Brussels sprouts, and I seem to be able to eat them. What about that? That's not on the list.
You're lucky. I mean, everybody's different. It's a matter of finding out what works for you. As the lady before shared, she's very, very restrictive on the grains, and she can have, what did she say she could have?
Cumin.
I forget what it was, but so you have to figure out your own diet, kind of. You got to know there's a reaction, a cause and effect here, and then you figure it out. Take what I've shared with you, and then you put it to work and figure it out, your specific diet. Okay,
well, one thing I'd like to add is that, you know, obviously regular MDs are not going to give you the time of day. They will let you die with this stuff. But I did go to an Ayurvedic Indian doctor, and he's been extremely helpful. Unfortunately, it's out of pocket. And that is where I learned to use neem and some things, but also eating Indian food with curcumin and cumin and white pepper, and those herbs really seem, they're antiparasitic and antifungal, and that really seems to get them right out of your intestines.
Thank you. Okay. All right, who's next?
Yes, hi, this is Anna. I have a question about the Nature's Gift of Brightening Soap. You mentioned the 1 ounce to a half a gallon of water. Can that be mixed with the HOCl? You know, because I'm very grateful for all the information. I've been on, you know, the call now for quite a while, and I'm very appreciative. Of course, I have many cofactors that are very difficult to address, but your efforts are keeping people, survive.
I don't see any reason why it can't be mixed with it. You could always try it and see how it works, but you're not going to put it in the electrostatic sprayer. You're just going to do a regular spray.
Right, to try it. What about, because ammonia, this is the thing. I know ammonia can be so helpful, but it's very toxic to one's lungs, isn't it?
Well, you don't want to breathe. I spray it.
How do you deal, it would be the less expensive way, solution, but wearing a mask each time you spray, I mean, my environment is...
I don't know how, I've used it millions, well, not thousands of times, and I don't smell it. You know, I just spray and move away from it. I don't walk towards where I'm spraying. I spray and move back. And, I can maybe smell that there's ammonia there, but I don't get it. I don't get the, like, ammonia in your face kind of ammonia. So you have to learn how to spray it and minimize what you smell. And you're right, it is a neurotoxin.
Right, that's a concern. Can you mix it? Can you mix that with peppermint oil? Is there anything you can add that would, counteract the toxicity of it?
Well, I did that with the dryer. I put a third of a cup of ammonia and a thing of a squirt of peppermint in it. I don't see why you couldn't use it in regular spraying. Sure, you could use any oil along with the ammonia to shake it up.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what about the Nature's Gift of Brightening Soap? I'm just thinking, because I have some and it's a great product, but can I use that instead of the ammonia? I mean, has there been any information about that? You mentioned it can...
That's what you ask about. 1 ounce to half a gallon is all you need. You don't need ammonia. You don't need hypochlorite. You don't need anything else.
Right. In other words, that can solve everything. I can just keep, have several spray bottles around here.
That's it.
Okay, and that can solve the Morgellons and the mites and the Colombola, and I have everything here.
Yep, everything.
Oh, okay, that is something that needs to be,
I'm sorry, I thought I made that clear, but yes, it's...
In other words, the 1 ounce to one half, let me make sure I got, one ounce to a half a gallon of water, right?
Right, yes.
If I put more in it, does it make it stronger if I use like 2 ounces?
Well, you can do that. I think maybe you're overdoing it. You're using more than you need to, but that's up to you.
Now, can I put that in my dryer too, Richard? I put the Nature's Gift of Brightening Soap the same? Because I've been using these, these Bounce sheets. They have no scent in them, and I put a little essential oils in my dryer. But I'm just wondering if I could add the Nature's Gift of Brightening Soap to the dryer sheets.
I imagine you could. I don't know. I've never done it. So if you want to try it, let us know how it works.
Okay, great. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I'm grateful.
Keep coming back.
Thank you.
Who's next?
Thank you.
Anyone else? Star 6.
Hi, Maris in Georgia.
Hi, Maris. How are you?
Pretty good. I missed most of the call because I'm at work and stuff happened. But now I don't know whether Robin's there. I wanted to ask her
Robin,
a little bit
Robin's
more about
it. Robin, what's your question?
If you take the Max One, this is for you. If you take the Max One at night, does it cause too much activity and cause you from sleeping?
Well, they recommend, I think it depends on the individual. I can take it anytime, it's no problem, but I don't have problem sleeping. But it could activate you and make it more difficult to sleep if you take it before you go to bed. So they recommend basically maybe 2 or 3 hours before you go to bed would be the latest that they'd recommend to avoid interfering with your sleep.
Okay. Do you think I could get away with just taking one, max one, in the afternoon? So it'll last longer?
This one is better than none, that's for sure. So whatever, experiment. Okay.
Because until I got that, I was putting together something that would cause the same effect, but now I'm testing it to see how it works. Yeah. And then the neem drink, I guess the only thing, if we're on phase one, the only thing we can mix in our neem drink is the lactose-free milk and maybe a little stevia because, man, it tastes worse than swamp water, if you put too much neem,
I don't know. I'm not a neem person, so you have to experiment. Okay.
I'm looking to get rid of columbola, however you say that.
I don't know.
I'm using neem drink, neem mixed in with something topical, maybe a little 91% alcohol or whatever else I can put together. Because, neem would actually destroy the nature's gift, wouldn't it, or would it?
No, nothing destroys the nature's gift. It's liquid carbon.
Okay. Fantastic. All right. So that's what I'm doing. For any more suggestions on other than using neem in the environment, inside the body and outside the body for columbola?
Well, as far as inside the body, I know it's up to you. Everybody has their preferences. The diet is the most important thing, making the diet work. And then cleaning your skin, and the book has a thousand different ways to do that. So you have to figure out what works best for you.
I've done almost 1,000 of them, yes. But anyway, okay, so, I'll wait for next week, Robin, because it's hard to spray the neem spray on a white, brand-new apartment that I want to not ruin the white walls on, so I have to just spray it on the brown part.
I would never spray neem on a wall. It just doesn't make sense to me.
I'm doing it on the floors and the cabinets because they're brown anyway,
It's an oil, so... cabinets are good. Floors, I don't know about floors. I think there'd be a better thing to do than neem.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, she said to mix up an inch and a half in a 16-ounce bottle with enzymes.
Well, so, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. And then wanted to ask you, what is that? The last question is, the last time you mentioned something with cedar. I don't know how I missed out on that since I've been on the call since September.
Red cedar for organisms that are known to dig into ceramics and wood and tin and whatever and eat.
Oh, I mean the laundry solution. I didn't have a clue what that was.
PCO?
Oh, PCO?
Yeah, you just have to go back and listen to the recording, okay?
I don't do that. I don't have time to do that. I never do that.
Right.
I don't get the emails anyway.
Okay.
But it's cedar. I'm just getting cedar essential oil and adding it to my laundry detergent because I couldn't find that other stuff. But it's called PCO?
Best thing is to talk that over with Robin, all right?
Okay, well, I'm not waiting on that. I'm just going to use my cedar essential oil. I'm an action figure.
Okay.
I can't wait 7 days for something. Otherwise, everything is fine. Thank you so much for being there and everybody else.
Thank you. Okay. Now, regarding Max 1, there is an opportunity if you anyone who wants, you can get it for the same price that we pay by letting me know. We pay $67 a bottle plus shipping. And you can get it at that same price by becoming a preferred customer of Max, where you deal directly with Max. They send it to you. Now, one bottle a month is $67 plus about $11 in postage, which makes it fairly expensive. So what some people do is they will order 3 bottles the first month, wait 2 months, get nothing for 2 months, then order 3 bottles the next month, and that way it's only like $3 in shipping instead of 11 each month. Anyone else have a question? No one else? All right.
I've got one question.
All right, Melanie.
The thing is ammonia and a lot of these essential oils are toxic to cats, and I'm not giving up my cats because they're my kids, but I'll tell you what, one thing I wanted to look at was I have furniture, and I'm pretty sure it's in the furniture, and I would probably just have to take the chance on using cedar. I don't know if cedar is toxic to cats or not, but you had mentioned something, some kind of special cedar to polish furniture with, like mahogany and such.
Red cedar. We have it in the store. It's a red cedar oil.
Okay.
And it's the only cedar oil that works in this case. Okay?
Thank you so much.
Who's next? Anyone else? Star 6.
Yeah, Richard, can you hear me?
I can. Who's this?
Oh, hi. It's Ann. I tried the making that chocolate recipe that's in the blog. I forget if it's in the blog or what. And it just came out terrible, bitter, and too salty. And I don't know. It calls for cocoa butter. And I bought cacao butter on Amazon. And then it calls for alkalized cocoa. And I decided to use the carob powder that I had on hand. I don't know if that's why.
Well, carob is not on the diet. I would not use carob powder. But it's making dark chocolate is simply mixing cocoa butter, the white, with the Dutch chocolate. I forget what the exact ratio is. And you add in the stevia to sweeten it, a pinch of salt, not much salt, just a pinch of salt.
Because it said a quarter teaspoon.
No, I don't know where it ever said that. A pinch of salt.
Oh.
Just a little.
Oh.
Okay. And.
Okay.
Now, in a big batch like I make, I might add a quarter of a teaspoon, but that'll be enough for about 10 bars. So I don't know how big a batch you're making. But anyway, it's just a pinch.
Oh, okay. So it's cocoa butter and alkalized cocoa and the stevia and a pinch of salt.
Right. Heat it up.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I'll have to look for alkalized cocoa because I was
now
using carob powder.
You heat it to 109 degrees. You cool it down to 88 degrees. You heat it up to 97 degrees and then you pour it.
Okay.
All right. Who's next?
Yeah, and then, I just had another question. The mineral packs that I ordered, the hydration mineral packs.
Right, yes.
Does that have to be used with only distilled water?
No, you can use it with any kind of water. In fact, this is used in third world countries where the water is not pure. They purify the water with it. So the purest water is best because then you're going to get the most value of the packet. If you use it in contaminated water, a lot of it is being used to get rid of the contaminants. So.
Oh yeah. Well, I have a purifier. I have a water purifier.
You can use it with any kind of water. All right.
Oh. Okay, and then the electric static sprayer. I called the company a while ago because I wasn't sure what all you could put in there, and they told me as long as it's water soluble, the only thing I've been putting in there is clean green and water. And I just wasn't sure what you were talking about it before, what if there's other things I could put in there.
Well, you're not using our enzymes?
No.
Clean enzymes?
No, so you can
use our enzymes. They're better and they're less costly. They have a better dilution. You get more value with our enzymes than you do with Clean Green. We appreciate your support. That's what keeps me going and us going here. All right.
So it's the Clean 'em Up Zymes then, right?
Clean 'em Up Zymes from our store. So you can use the Clean 'em Up Zymes. You can use. I think Robin is a better expert on this. I think she says you can use the Garden Safe Fungicide 3 in it. You just have to wash it out when you're done with it. Maybe you have to dilute it. I'm sure you have to dilute it. And you can use the Nature's Gift in it, okay?
Okay. Yeah, I have the Fungicide 3. I thought that would be too strong for it, but
well,
okay.
You have to dilute it. She knows more about it than I do.
Okay. Thank you. Right. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Star 6 before we wrap it up. Okay.
Richard, this is Adacia.
Hi, Adacia. How are you doing?
I'm okay. I've been diagnosed. You know, I've had, like, my blood's done strange things since all this started. Like, I would bleed in different directions and different colors and all this stuff. And even with the diet, I would still get some lesions around my legs and stuff if I stood too long, like pressure lesions and things. But someone mentioned something, and it hit me in the brain. I had my labs done. I was tanked out on iron. So I stuck iron patches all over me. And as my iron comes up, those things are gone.
Do you have a question? Do you have a question?
Yes. They told me I have factor 8 blood clotting disorder. Like, my blood is super thick, and I wanted to know if that is a part of this.
Not to my knowledge. I don't know. I have no idea. Okay, sorry. Okay, anyone else? Question before we close? Got anything to add, Sharon, before we wrap it up?
No, this has been a great session. Thanks a lot, Richard, for all of your support, and thanks for being here for us, answering these questions every Sunday and being our support. We love you.
Love you, too. Okay, happy trails to you.
Until we meet again.
Happy trails
to you.
You are my family. Love you all. For coming back. See you next week.
Happy trails to you.